WEVD, New York.
WLTH, Brooklyn, New York.
WCNW, operating on a frequency of...
Travel with us now back in time to New York City in the 1930s and 40s.
Cheese blintzes, apple cherry, blueberry and strawberry, dumplings and potato latkes too.
The Yiddish Radio Project has rescued 1,000 fragile discs from the heyday of Yiddish radio.
You're only looking for the standpoint of your own good.
No, I ain't.
Because you married her so that she could put you into business.
Recordings which allow us to eavesdrop on a lost world.
You can use either brown bread or white bread, and it's very economical, and I'm sure your children will like it too.
Here's the story that everyone knows.
Lucky Lindy, up in the sky, fair or windy, he's flying high. Fearless, knows every cloud. The kind of a son makes a mother feel proud.
1927, Charles A. Lindbergh lifts off in his fragile one-seat plane from a runway in New York, and 33 hours later, touches down in Paris. Lindbergh instantly became a worldwide hero, welcomed home by millions of ecstatic Americans and by his president, Calvin Coolidge.
This earnest, courageous product of America, driven by the spirit of his Viking ancestors, traveled 3,600 miles and established a new record. And as President of the United States, I bestow the Distinguished Flying Cross upon Colonel Charles A. Lindbergh.
But here's another story. This one is also about a man who crossed the Atlantic by plane in 1927, just 2 weeks later. But he wasn't tall, he wasn't blonde, he wasn't Charles A. Lindbergh. He was Charles A. Levine, the first air passenger to cross the Atlantic. Passenger, you ask, so what? Well, to Jewish immigrants in America at the time, Levine's accomplishment was nothing short of miraculous. It was celebrated in song and story, retold again and again on Yiddish radio. The forgotten tale of Levine's spectacular rise and the unknown account of his terrible fall is brought to us now by Henry Zapoznik.
Charles A. Levine was born in 1897, and as a little kid was obsessed with flying. By the time he was in his 20s, he'd become a self-made millionaire in the junk business, and decided to use his fortune to enter the race to be the first to fly across the Atlantic.
Levine, Levine, bist der Held, jetzt bin ich ruhig. Levine, Levine,
Levine went out and bought the finest plane of his day and hired a pilot named Clarence Chamberlain to fly it for him. But 2 weeks before they were able to get off the ground, they lost the race. Lindbergh beat them across the Atlantic. Lindbergh has won the race and is a worldwide hero. But Levine decides to fly anyway. And he decides that he needs a gimmick. So he announces that there's going to be a mystery passenger, and no one knows who it's going to be. Clarence Chamberlain is the pilot, but who is the mystery passenger? The plane is on the runway. Propellers are turning, the plane is warming up. While everyone waits for this supposed mystery passenger to turn up, Levine tells his wife, "Oh, I'm just going to get into the plane for a moment, and we're just going to taxi around the airfield." It wasn't until the plane took off and was heading out over the trees out into the open ocean that everyone realizes that it was Levine all along who was the mystery passenger. His wife sees this, she faints dead away. His kids see it, they burst into tears. And meanwhile, Levine is on his way. This is a recording of Levine der Größer Mann, Levine the Big Man. His wife and children knew nothing of his notion to fly across the ocean when he climbed into the plane.
Around the ganze Welt, haben gehalten, Augen offen.
So Chamberlain and Levine actually make it. They beat Lindbergh's speed and distance record and nearly make it all the way to Berlin. The American public is interested in them for a day or two, and then Levine and Chamberlain fade from the headlines. But for the Jews, this was a big deal.
Der Tag.
The Day newspaper, June 7th, 1927.
Clarence D.
Chamberlain and Charles A. Levine have done it. Two.
Chamberlain
and Levine have set a new record in non-stop air travel. A new record of Jewish bravery, courage, and fortitude. Together with the American Christian Chamberlain, the American Jew Levine has broken the record for air flight. Charles A. Levine has created a new high point in the history of the Jews.
And I am Rundfunk Yiddish Record.
Jewish composers write song after song celebrating Levine.
Oi, flee, 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 Levine, of God Bruch and thy machine.
The Jewish community goes absolutely crazy. They have a hero. Levine is all over the radio dial. This is the only known recording of his voice that survives.
My happiness is complete, though I never dreamt of the joy and thrill it would bring to so many others. Such feeling is a crowning jewel of our achievement.
This was an era when Jews would change their names. I mean, every one of the popular Jewish entertainers had changed their names. Eddie Cantor was Isidore Itzkowitz, Al Jolson was Asa Yoelson, Fanny Bryce was Fanny Borach. All these people changed their names to become part of American culture. Levine didn't change his name. So the Jewish community, the symbol of him not changing his name was really important.
Levine, Levine, you're the hero of your race. Levine, Levine, you're the greatest Hebrew ace. We got a thrill when Chamberlain flew, but you were right there too. We're proud of you, Levine. Levine, just an ordinary name, but you brought it everlasting fame.
But after a while, even the Jewish community forgot about Levine. He just disappeared off the radar screen. And that's the last the world heard of Charles A. Levine.
My name is Ardith Polly. I'm the daughter of Charles A. Levine. My father just felt that he was going to make it. And I don't know whether it was stupidity or just confidence. But he made it. He became a hero of the air. And yeah, it was a dream, but I think it turned into a nightmare. It all happened, you know, after the flight, when he became this very famous, rich millionaire, young millionaire, and was sought after by all these women that were seeking notoriety as well as him. There was women that were chasing after him to get press, and some newspapers started to report about seeing here with this one and seeing here with that one, and giving diamond bracelets, which was his habit, to my mother. She'd pick up a napkin and there would be a diamond bracelet. Then she heard about him giving diamond bracelets to someone else, and so they were divorced. Although he begged and pleaded and said he was sorry and he'll kill himself and everything else, she got a divorce. And after that, he just went down rather than up. He lost a lot of money and was not the same Charlie Levine that he had been. I didn't know that much about him. I just knew he was my father and that he flew the Atlantic and that was it. Sometime after the divorce, he eventually moved in with my mother's friend. Her mother had an annuity that gave her so much a month, and my father lived off that and kept wheeling and dealing, and nothing ever happened. So finally she ran. She picked herself up and she ran. And without her money coming in, he was destitute. He just went down, you know, to the depths that no one wants to wind up in. He was thrown out on the street. He was just wandering the streets, you know, if it wasn't for this nice woman who picked him up, you know, while he was wandering around. And he happened to mention that he was Charlie Levine, the first passenger to fly. Anyway, she took him in under her wing. My father must have gotten into trouble, a lot of trouble, because the FBI was looking for him. I was newlywed at the time. And I don't know how they found me, but they found me, and they were looking for my father, and I didn't know where he was. I mean, I hadn't seen my father in God knows how long. So, the name struck a bell. That was about it. I got a call from this woman who took him in under her wing, but he was becoming too much trouble. So she wanted to find out where he belonged. And so she called. I don't know how she found me. I really don't know how anyone found me. But that's how I found my father. We were in business at the time, my husband and myself. And I really didn't know what to do. We didn't want to diminish, you know, the fact that he was this big hero of the air. And so, you know, we bought him a suit and put him in our business and paid him, you know. Although we did not absolutely nothing but paid him so that he'd have some kind of self-respect. And so it went. Eventually, my husband and I got divorced. And then there was no longer an office, and there was no longer a place for him to stay. And then he then moved to this friend originally that picked him up off the gutter. He moved back there and eventually died, I think. I really don't know. He was my father, and he did go down in history as something, no matter how downhill his life went. He still is in the history books as first passenger to fly the Atlantic. And they can't take that away from him. And that's the story, as far as I know, about my father, Charles A. Levine.
Levine in sein flying
The Yiddish Radio Project is produced by David Isay, Henry Sapoznik, and Yair Reiner, with help from Andy Lancet, David Miller, Karen Callahan, and Tony Field. Special thanks this week to John Lyford.
To see photos of Charles A. Levine or to view his FBI record, you can visit our website, npr.org.